From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning and welcome everyone to our program. We will continue today with our study of John's Gospel. We are presently considering chapter 17 and the verses 11 through to 16. This will be our third study of the Savior's prayer for his people. Studying God's Word in this systematic fashion, rather than picking various texts in our broadcasts, stops anyone accusing you of deliberately picking a verse in order to have a go at them. By systematically working our way through a gospel, we have our topics chosen for us. Today we will look at a wonderful title, a glorious unity, and a most unreasonable hatred. May I remind you of our program tonight at 9 o'clock. We have come to the final study of Luke chapter 1, verse 78, a study we have entitled Conversion, the Dawn of a Heavenly Morning in the Soul. Please join me at 9 o'clock around God's Word. Here is a hymn before we turn to John chapter 17, the verses 11 to 16. It's the old-fashioned Revival Hour Quartet singing for us, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go. Turning to John chapter 17, and particularly looking at the verses 11 through to 16, this is our third study in what is rightly called the Lord's Prayer. Last week, as we studied this chapter, we considered the emphasis that Christ laid upon the Word of God. In this study of verses 11 to 16, we will note a wonderful title, A Glorious Unity, and a Most Unreasonable Hatred. The wonderful title that I am referring to is that given by Christ to his Father. Holy Father, he calls him. This is the only place in all the Bible where this title is used, and it is used by the Savior of our Heavenly Father. Some titles are uniquely God's and must not be used by men. None but the Lord Jesus has claim to the title Christ. None but the Holy Spirit has claim to the title the Comforter. None but our Heavenly Father has a right to be called Holy Father. It cannot be pleasing to the Father to have that name by which he is known to his Son used by any other. The third commandment states, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 7. Throughout the world, this commandment is likely the one most commonly broken. To give expression to shock or annoyance, it is common for people to repeat the name of God. The surprising thing is this, that it is always the names of the Lord God of the Bible that is employed in this fashion. You never, or at least I have never heard anyone use the names of the many gods worshipped throughout the world as an exclamation or a curse word. It's just the name of the God of the Bible. We should bear in mind that Christ said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Let such a solemn warning place a curb on our lips, and cause us in particular to reverence the names of God, and employ them only as he has directed. It is to be noted that the Saviour uses this title, Holy Father, when asking his Father to keep his disciples holy. Who better to petition for such a thing than the Father of holiness? Peter tells us that the command of God on this matter is, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Note secondly the glorious unity which is to be maintained. Unity between the disciples of Christ is not something to be sought after or created by the efforts of men. It is something that exists through the grace of God in the lives of those who are the true children of God. Brothers and sisters within an earthly family do not have to strive to establish family unity. That was established at their birth. Each one, upon their birth, became a member of the family. So it is with God's family. Christ is not praying for unity to be created, but rather he is praying for it to be maintained. The word keep in verse 11 means preserve. This concurs with what Paul exhorts the believers in Ephesus to seek after, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4, verse 3. It is the same word here that Paul uses as we find the Saviour using in John chapter 17 and the verse 11. Such unity is not maintained by men, but by God the Father. This is the first request that Christ makes in this prayer for his disciples. He desires, first of all, that his people may be preserved from evil, from falling away, from false doctrine, from being crushed by persecution, from every assault of the devil. Only the power of Almighty God can preserve those that face such threats. That is what the Saviour means when he requests, Holy Father, keep through thine own name, that is, by thy power and authority, those whom thou hast given me. Verse 11. The pattern of the unity desired by Christ for his people is set down also, that they may be one as we are. No efforts of man could ever produce such unity as that which exists between the Father and the Son. How united is the mind of Christ, the will of Christ, the purpose of Christ, with that of his Father. Such is the unity Christ desires to be preserved amongst his people. Such unity is centered upon the Word of God. Submission to the Bible will bring Christians ever more closely together in their thoughts and deeds. The Bible, not the actions of councils and conventions convened by men, is the center and the instrument by which unity is preserved and promoted amongst God's people. As Paul exhorts toward the end of his appeal for maintaining of unity amongst believers, in Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." The Bible, I say, is the instrument for promoting unity and preserving unity amongst God's people. Finally, see how the Word of God is hated in this world. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Verse 14. Because the Word of God changes the whole being of the one who receives its message, those thus changed are no longer of this world, and become targets of the world's hatred. Christ was hated by this world. Each one who has been converted to faith in his word has likewise experienced that same hatred. Some to a greater degree than others, but all believers face this opposition. That is why they need God's keeping. Remember what Christ said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." The Savior never exaggerated, you know. He ever spoke the truth. When he likens Christians in this world as sheep amongst wolves, then that is a true description of the situation. Peter told those believers to whom he wrote that opposition should not surprise them. It was to be expected. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." 1 Peter chapter 4, the verses 12 and 13. Trial and opposition is the common lot of all believers, at least to some level, throughout the ages. But when trouble comes, remember that Christ has prayed that his Father will keep us through the trouble. Therefore, believe and rest in faith in your Heavenly Father's care. Join me tonight at 9 o'clock around God's Word once more. Goodbye, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.